Good morning and happy Saturday. You are listening to In Conversation with Rashmi on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Lip Off KW, KW's only lip sync battle fundraiser. The team made up of four local women who organize the fundraiser have raised almost $10,000 for local charities. They strongly believe together as a community we can end homelessness in Waterloo region. And to talk about this a little later is Jen Wilson and Jolene Knott. But first, I'm going to be chatting with Anna Heifer, which aims to end the cycle of poverty for women in Uganda with the focus on menstrual hygiene. And together with two other women, they started She Cycle. So thank you, Anna, for joining me in studio this morning. It's a pleasure to have you here. What inspired you to start She Cycle?
That's a good question. So the actual issue that we're looking at was brought up by Abby. Her and her mom and her grandma had these conversations about how the way that we manage menstrual hygiene has changed so much over time, and that there are huge disparities in the resources that people have for being able to manage their menses. And so when we were all brought together as a team to form a pitch for another competition and had to choose a topic, she brought that up. And then because I had just spent some time in Uganda, I had a little bit of knowledge of that context. So that's how we chose the Ugandan context. But as soon as Abby brought up the idea, there was no more debate. That was just, it was pretty obvious that all of us were really interested in learning more about that issue.
So how did the three of you come together to begin with?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great question. We get that a lot. So we were all part of the same first year residence at the University of Waterloo. Mm-hmm. And so we had all applied to be part of a competition that they were inviting us to go to as part of a learning experience for us to learn more about pitching, more about business for good. So we all applied. There were actually six of us in the beginning, and then we pitched She Cycle. Didn't win at that competition, but then later on, I think it was January last year, we decided that we were going to pitch again for the World's Challenge Challenge. Because the University of Waterloo has a competition at that level. And we decided to pitch again, but you could only have three people pitching. And we had originally had six people on the team. So we checked back in with the team, and it was us three that were still interested to carry on with this idea. And the rest has kind of been history since then.
Yeah. That's amazing. How different, because I know there are a couple of other organizations as well who are doing all the things that women today want to go out in the society, help different countries, help women with education and hygiene and health and recycle products. So there are a lot of other menstrual activists out there. How is yours different from theirs?
Yeah, ours is definitely in a space that's getting really saturated with people wanting to make a huge difference. And that's really great. And we're really happy that there is a lot of talk going on now, because our main concern is reducing the stigma around menstruation. But the way that we approach it a little bit differently is that we have a social entrepreneurship model, so that it's actually structured right now with our business so that we do have a constant revenue stream rather than being reliant on donations. And we really hope that this allows us to continue to innovate as we continue tackling the problem, whereas some other organizations are limited by the unpredictability of donations or other things that come along with having a nonprofit business model rather than a for-profit business mm-hmm. model. So we're still tinkering with how we'll structure things, because business models are always in flux. But I think that's the main difference. I think a secondary difference that's important to mention is that we've brought together a couple of components that have worked really well for other people and are making a big impact in other areas of the world, but aren't necessarily being used together or in Uganda. So we have education as a large part of it, because menstrual stigma is a really big root of the problem. And we have the distribution of menstrual products, because a lack of menstrual products is part of the problem. But then we also have the antimicrobial aspect of our pads. We're not the first people to do it. There are other antimicrobial pads out there, but we're the first people to attempt to locally manufacture them, to employ people in the community, to hopefully transform the whole story about menstruation, all along a girl's lifespan.
In creating and having it done at the location and not having outsources from somewhere else, does that create employment there in those countries then?
That's the goal. We'd really aspire to employ local female entrepreneurs so that we can target the issue of women not only getting a lower education because they're missing school because of their period, but also once women are out of school, how can we intercept that aspect of the cycle of poverty? So providing some income generating opportunities is really important to us.
Trying to keep, because there's such stigma even around the world, and even where we come from in a developed country as well, the first was to keep those girls in school and keep their education going. So how hard or challenging has that been?
I think that the biggest barrier is also at the same kind of level as stigma. It's the belief that women aren't necessarily, like, women don't need to be in school as much as men do. And so I think a big aspect of addressing that is making sure that we're advocating for women's education, right, as a like a value rather than a practical kind of thing. But then making it possible practically, I think, is another aspect. Because once it becomes easier to miss school because school is deprioritized, then that's where the problem like starts to really form. Whereas if you can target it earlier on where it's just as valuable for women and men to go to school, that's when we can start to be a bit more productive about tackling that issue. So it's kind of on the same level as stigma, where we need to do things practically in order to be able to almost work backwards and change beliefs.
When these conversations do happen with the women out there, do men participate in it? There's still a lot of resistance from them. Do you think involving them could help break that stigma there?
Yeah, that's also a really good question. I think it varies a lot. The school that we're currently piloting a project with, Mother's Heart Uganda, that runs Golden Hill Academy, is run by a man named Jeremiah, and he's actually the one who reached out to us. So there are men that are involved in this issue. There are a lot of people that care a lot about it, but in reality, I think it's more women than men that are involved, and it is definitely a barrier because there are more male headmasters of schools, for example. There are less people that are aware that it's really difficult to go to school when you're on your period, if you don't have the resources that you need, or if the pit latrines at your school are dark, so it's hard to change a pad. So there's a lot of nuance to the complexity of why people don't go to school on their periods, or why people drop out of school altogether. There's a lot of complexity to that. So there are some people involved, but we need more people involved, especially because there are so many people in male leadership. I mean, you can also look at that and say, why don't we have more women headmasters?
Absolutely.
I think it's definitely multifaceted, but there are more men getting involved.
Supporting and encouraging and having those open discussions with men to get them to understand more than just ads and posters and billboards that they just get to see, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So creating these reusable products, it benefits more than just environment. And they can also be safer health options, and disposing pads can also contain harmful chemicals. So how much do people in Uganda and the project you're working on understand the benefits of reusable pads versus
disposable?
Yeah. In today's environmental discussions, does that even come up there?
In the villages that I have personally visited, I don't know if it's such a prominent issue looking at what chemicals might be in disposable pads or what other benefits there are between disposable and reusable, but the one thing that does come up constantly is cost. The cost of a reusable pad, where while it might be more expensive at the outset, it's so much less expensive even over a couple of months. The pads that we're hoping to manufacture will be about $3 for an entire year. Whereas disposable pads would be much more expensive to access. So right now, disposable pads for people in that village would be considered a luxury. I don't think I could find them in any of the shops around the village. You'd have to go into the city. But reusable pads, change that storyline, because once you have it for at least a year. So I don't think that people are necessarily concerned about the environmental aspects or what chemicals might be in them, but they're definitely concerned about cost and the economic reality of that. That being said, we're hoping to visit Uganda in early May. We'll be there for a little while, and so we're hoping to run some more focus groups and do some more research to understand what people's values really are, because this is all based on assumptions or hearing it through other people and not talking directly to people in that specific community. Mm-hmm. And so we're really excited to go and understand people's values and people's concerns and how we can shape our business to meet those needs better.
Do bringing in or involving healthcare practitioners down there help spread that message in a better way in terms of hygiene and health? Because a lot of women, even reusable pads, if not kept clean and maintained the way it should be, they can develop some serious issues, right? Like internally. So that education and knowledge is important too. So do you have healthcare workers involved as a part of this project?
We don't have primary healthcare workers involved, but we do have quite a bit of support from the public health space. So what we're looking at specifically with the antimicrobial coating is combating that issue where it's actually really complicated to use a reusable pad properly, especially when you're in a situation where clean, fresh water isn't readily available, and even soap isn't necessarily readily available. One thing that we learned from a study that recently came out on this specific issue in Uganda is that often girls are too embarrassed to ask their parents for soap when they're starting to use pads, and so they're not washing them with soap. And that can cause all sorts of issues down the line after you're drying them inside, where they're not getting fully dry and the bacteria is allowed to grow. So I think reusable pads are twice as likely to cause an infection compared to disposables, but we're really hoping with She Cycle pads, because they have the antimicrobial coating, that we'll be able to change that storyline so that while we're providing education on how to properly use a reusable pad and just women's hygiene in general, that even if people aren't doing it perfectly or if clean water isn't available, then that issue of people getting infections, so then they have to visit the health center instead of going to school, or they have a latent infection that they're not aware of, that issue won't be present anymore. And then we can kind of start from eliminating that with the basis of really trying to target the stigma and increase health education.
So it's been a long overdue conversation, and in a world where period stories kind of go hand in hand with words like dirty and secret, it's not a small achievement to bring this conversation into spotlight. So what is your team contributing to have those open discussions, not only in Uganda with the community there, but even here in Canada?
I think the biggest way that we've started to do that is just talking about it in our regular lives with our friends. Both Abby and I have realize that we've become the period lady for everyone that we know. I think Leah has escaped that thus far. But we've become the advocates for talking about periods, really, when it boils down to it. I think reducing stigma is a really big phrase that can have a lot of different meanings and can seem really intimidating. But the reality is that we've just started to get people to talk about it. So the amazing thing that I've seen happening is that people aren't afraid to talk about periods in front of me because they know that I'm comfortable with it. And I think if we continue to communicate that with each other, this fact that, oh, I'm comfortable talking about this topic with you, then people are more comfortable talking about that topic with you. And we're really hoping that through continuing on with She Cycle, that we have all of these opportunities to talk about this issue for women in Uganda, but also recognize that it happens here in Kitchener, that people don't have the resources that they need to manage their menses. And that's an issue that we really need to address, because it's not just affecting people that don't have the materials that they need, but it's also just, it's an everyday thing. Like, when you get your period, do you have to engage in practices where you're, you know, hiding tampons, or like it's so ingrained in how we act that I really hope that because of our involvement in She Cycle, because our people that we interact with know that we talk about periods all the time in public to people, mm-hmm. that they don't feel like they have to hide their tampons. And then that effect can hopefully grow between people and change the script around menstrual hygiene.
So do you think the whole idea of hiding in, if you need to use the washroom and you have your periods, mm-hmm. everybody's hiding stuff and running in, yeah. right? So do you think that has played a lot in people's minds where multinational corporations with the ads mm-hmm. have kind of fed that information in?
Yeah, the language that they use, I think, is very indicative of the idea that, like, no one should know. And I think that that can be really problematic. I mean, if you think about the word discreet, right? Everyone's, the brand comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And I think that while it serves the customer and it meets the customer's need, I think we need to focus on what the customer's need actually is and not necessarily what the customer thinks they need. And perhaps looking at the menstrual care industry reorganizing priorities to what is the most functional, what is the easiest to use, what is the easiest to keep clean, all of those questions, and then adding in an environmental aspect, because there's a huge environmental impact that's made by menstrual hygiene products if they're not reusable. So I think that these corporations have a vested interest in women feeling like they need to hide all of these things mm-hmm. or be discreet, or that that disposables are necessary because it's dirty, those mm-hmm. kinds of things. I think that they've definitely played a role in that. But I also think that there's potential for a lot of these new reusable menstrual product companies to combat that with the idea that, no, our bodies do this thing that is perfectly normal. And what if it becomes something that we can talk about, like brushing our teeth? Right? Absolutely. It's a part of hygiene. So I think I have a lot of hope for the future with the new wave of like zero waste and reusable menstrual products to change the script around periods, because these multinational corporations don't have such an interest in that kind of space.
So tell me about the World's Challenge in London, Ontario, that you guys won the very first place, beating 17, I think it was. Yep. I counted them, universities that came by from yep. 9 different countries.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
That was crazy. I think we were really surprised, not because we didn't have faith in what we were doing. I remember us practicing a couple days before we pitched at the World's Challenge. So we were in residence there, and we all exchanged a look after one really good run of our pitch, and no one was willing to say it out loud. But I think in that moment, we all knew that like we had a chance, because mm-hmm. we'd come into it coming from Waterloo, where Waterloo is the hub of startups. And it's one of the best places to be if you want to learn how to run a startup or pitch well, or those kinds of things. So we realized coming into this, we had been incredibly well prepared. We had a ton of support behind us, and we had really high standards for ourselves. And so when we came into the competition, we practiced and practiced and practiced, and then realized, you know, we really like our idea. And instead of saying out loud, oh, I think maybe we could win, we were all like, so if we don't win, we're going to fundraise, right?
You already had plan B going.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. So I think we were surprised when we won, because every other team was so amazing. The teams that won second and third, like I see them on social media and LinkedIn all the time. They're continuing with their ideas. They're really like, this effect has snowballed for them. Mm-hmm. And even the other teams that didn't place, like it was so amazing to be in that place and get connected with such incredible young people that are all ready to change their part of the world. Mm-hmm. Each person has their own little section that they care about so much. And I have no doubt that they will make change in that area. So I think that was really crazy, because we felt like there was such amazing talent and hard work in that room. And we were just blown away and really excited.
And what or how has community supported and helped you with the project, not just pitching it, but after you won the competition as well. I know UW has been a huge part in supporting this project, but as a community itself, how has that impacted your project?
We've had support from so many different areas. It's been honestly overwhelming in a good way, how many people there are supporting us, because each new competition that we enter into, we get a new whole realm of support from them. So we just did the HALT Prize, and we'll be traveling to Nairobi to compete at the finals there. So we have some really good supports through that competition, and even from the Jack Rosen Fund, which we just did through UW, that panel of judges is all backing us. And right from when we started with the World's Challenge Challenge, we had supports in that way. And then even before that, with our original pitch team, we had support from the Center for Peace Advancement and Conrad Grebel College, and we've really found that each of those places has become a community. But I think that the biggest demonstration of support that we had recently was Conrad Grebel University College runs a Make a Difference market every year, where local vendors come and sell fair trade goods or handmade goods, and all of it, all of the proceeds from that go to a good cause. And they selected SheCycle this year.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Blew us away. Because that's our home community. That's really, it's where we started out, and it's where we still have a lot of ties. And so that demonstration of support from our community was really huge. It was really amazing. So we felt very tangibly that people are supporting us. And then we have a whole network of support through another program that I was part of. Abby and Leah weren't part of it, but I was, called the Greenhouse Program, and it's also at UW. And that's opened up an entire community of support as well. So we feel very well supported and well grounded.
What's the next step for SheCycle now that you won, you've got the huge money going there, and where is SheCycle going from here?
Well, what we're working on right now is doing some more research, both on where our product fits in the market and in the context that we're going to be working in Uganda. We're hoping to offload a bunch of responsibility to the school in Uganda so that it's not being carried out by us. We would really like to be the fuel behind it, and have some organizational control and be able to funnel resources. But ultimately, we don't want to be the ones carrying this out. It's not our place, we don't think. We really feel that it's important for people who are part of the community to be doing the education themselves, and that it's really important for people that are part of the community to be doing the training for anyone who's doing any sort of like making the pads or anything like that. So what we're up to next is we're going to the HALT Prize finals in Nairobi. That's at the end of April. And then we're going to be going to Uganda after that to visit the community that we've agreed to pilot with, and to learn some more about what that might look like. We'll hopefully be holding some stakeholder meetings with, like you mentioned, local health professionals, lots of people that are student age, community members. So really engaging the entire community in learning from them and doing some planning and what the next stages might look like. So right now we're just kind of learning what it might look like after we actually are in that community for a while. I visited there for a couple of weeks when I was living in Uganda, and so I'm really excited to go back.
So where can people find you, your social media handles? If you can share that with our listeners, that'll be great.
Yeah. So on Instagram, we're at @SheCycle. SheCycle is like recycle with a she. and then on Facebook, we're also SheCycle. So you can find us. We're the pink logo.
As an entrepreneur today, coming as a student and venturing into this world of a competitive world too, what message would you like to give other young entrepreneurs who are looking for startups and creating and being out there in the community? What is your message to them?
I think the message that I would give is, if there's a problem that you really want to solve, just focus on solving that problem and worry about the business aspect of it later. I was really intimidated by the idea of being an entrepreneur. I still don't really like that term. It's very scary to me. But I do like to think of myself as a problem solver or an innovator. And there is a problem that I want to contribute to solving. I don't know if we'll solve it, but we'll do our best, and we'll do the most useful thing that we can. And so I would say don't be intimidated by the idea of starting something. Just think of it as solving a problem.
Thank you so much, Anna. It was a pleasure having you here. And thank you for sharing the amazing work you and your team have been doing and inspiring so many other women to speak up and have these conversations and helping also create this awareness about environment, health, and hygiene. So it was a pleasure having you here and wishing you guys the very best. Stay tuned. I will be right back with my next guest, Jen Wilson and Jolie Knott from Lip Off KW. Welcome back. You are listening to In Conversation with Rashmi on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. My next guests, Jen Wilson and Jolie Knott from Lip Off KW, along with two other members from their team, organized Lip Sync Battle Fundraiser. So thank you, Jolene and Jen, for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you both and hear everything that Lip Off KW has been doing. So how did this idea even come up?
Because she's the OG. She's the OG member.
Okay, fair enough. So it started when a few of the members were attending a philanthropy leadership program together. And sometimes with the program, we'd get together, socialize a little bit, glass of wine or two. And one of our members, Rebecca, was a huge fan of Jimmy Fallon and his lip sync battles. And said, hey guys, great idea for, and I quote, a one-time small-scale fundraiser. Why don't we do a lip sync battle? We said, hey, yeah, that sounds great. And somehow we grew 4 years later, bigger, stronger committee working together, and have now raised over $15,000. So started small.
And how did the team come together? Where did you find each other?
So Jen, Tiff, and Becca did the workshop that Jen just mentioned. I actually know I know Tiff from back in the day. We used to work at the same company together, had some mutual friends. She was out for coffee with another mutual friend of ours, and my name came up, and Tiff approached me in the second year and was like, hey, we've got this really great thing that we're doing. We're going to make it a little bit bigger. I think that you would fit in really well. And 3 years later, I'm still here and they are still loving me. Thank goodness.
What was your drive behind starting this fundraiser? Because all of y'all also have your own regular jobs that you do.
Yeah.
Being a part of this and volunteering.
I think the biggest part is that we're all really community minded, and with Becca's amazing idea, the kind of the best part about it is that every year we can help a different organization. So in the past, we've helped out with the YWCA, we've supported the Sexual Assault and Domestic Violence Treatment Center. I practice that. This year was All in 2020 to end homelessness in Waterloo Region by the end of this year, in fact. Hello, 2020. Here we are. So I think that the biggest part of it was really just, it's a fun event. We have a lot of fun doing it. It's a lot of fun for our participants, our attendees, but also the fact that we can really just pick and choose and really spread the wealth and help out different people in our community.
Mm-hmm. And we're all really community focused. We all love the Kitchener-Waterloo area and have really strong ties here, whether we were born and raised here or whether we moved here. Being able to highlight and raise awareness for these organizations too. So yeah, the funds are amazing and helpful, but it's really starting a lot of conversations about what's happening in our community. And let's talk about things like human trafficking and domestic violence and chronic homelessness. And let's have these hard conversations together, but also find a way to engage in it that isn't overwhelming. We can be part of positive change. And this was one way that we said, hey, we can do something about this.
Exactly.
And what is All in 2020 campaign all about?
Ooh, All in 2020 is, it's a joint force. It's, there's a number of different members that are participating with it. They have our Housing Heroes, and really it is to raise funds to end chronic homelessness in Waterloo Region. Mm-hmm. So essentially it's a housing first approach. So essentially finding a home that will suit the person. So whether that's somebody with accessibility needs or if they have any other kind of special needs in regards to the into a home. And then providing those supports, other supports. So whether it's addictions counseling, whether it's job finding, that sort of thing. And that's really kind of the big idea behind that. The fact that it's a portable, I want to make sure I word this properly. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's a portable subsidy. So it moves with the person. Because a lot of the more traditional tactics have been about, here is an apartment building that has subsidized units in it, mm-hmm. which is great unless there are alcohol and drug users in that building yep. and you're in recovery. Suddenly that's not a great place to live. Mm-hmm. So it's about a subsidy that moves to find the place that's most appropriate for you. And as Jolene mentioned, it's that housing first approach. That means you don't have to be clean or be fully healthy before you can have that housing, because it's really hard to do those things in general, never mind when you don't even have a home.
And how is Lip Off KW helping this project? What's your involvement in that?
So this year, that was our group that we decided to support. So the funds from this past Lip Off event did go directly to the All In 2020 campaign. So I know Jen's always about the conversations and everything, and that's really huge, but I'm really big about money and getting that out there as well. So, I mean, that's my number one concern. And then in regards to that is really just supporting their message and getting the message out. And like Jen said, having conversations and starting conversations in the community. There are a number of people that didn't even know what 2020 was or don't, that didn't know prior to coming to Lip Off. They're just supporters of our event. And they come and they were able to meet Lynn and talk to her about what the program is and what the goal is and how achievable it is. I think that's the other thing. It's super achievable. So really, it's funds and then really just supporting them and getting their message out and getting those conversations started and getting more people to know about All In 2020. Mm-hmm.
So what really happens at these events when Lip Off organizes this lip sync fundraisers at the battle too? So give me a little highlight of what really happens at that event. How does one get to participate in it?
Absolutely. So we've been really lucky to be working with Apollo Cinema, which is an independent theater downtown Kitchener. We've been hosting the event at, and they are phenomenal Amazing. To work with. Oh, my goodness. Our manager, Kara Watson, my favorite.
Plug.
Anyway, so basically what happens is we have people who volunteer to perform and want to kind of compete and get up on stage. So there are three acts, three performers in each. So we've got 9 in total. Everyone who comes in gets a ticket to vote for their favorite person. However, we have a slightly skewed way of voting. As Jolene mentioned, the funds are important, so you can also buy as many votes as you want.
Oh.
And whoever has the most votes at the end wins. So, I mean, you could we're not above, you know, buying votes. Unlike, never mind, I was going to make some sort of a political comment.
We're not going there. But at the same time, too, we also have raffle tables with amazing prizes donated by a lot of really great local community organizations that are helping to support us and our event that are mm-hmm. a big hit. We also have a lot of local breweries and cideries that help us with providing kegs at prices that mean that we're making funds off of them, which is mm-hmm. phenomenal.
Yep.
So people are coming in, they're grabbing a drink, they're grabbing popcorn. If they happen to have a VIP ticket, they're also getting some delicious food. This year it was Holy Guacamole was bringing tacos in for us.
Nice.
Sit back, comfy seats, so enjoy the show. There's clapping, there's dancing in the aisles. It's a pretty fun night.
It's like a big party.
Yeah.
So people who participate as, you know, for the battle, mm-hmm. is that people locally from here, or is it by invite only? Like, how do people participate being on stage to participate in that battle? Where do they find that information?
So you can certainly go to our website, lipoffkw.com. That's really the best place to find us. All of our social media as well. We're pretty pretty prevalent on the social medias. I'm so old. primarily, though, these are just people that want to be up on stage and perform. This year was a little bit special, actually, though, because we had a team that was entered from Kitchener, from our Kitchener counselors, and then we had a team of Waterloo counselors, mm-hmm. and they had it was like the unofficial battle of Kitchener-Waterloo. It was pretty fantastic. generally, it's just people coming from our local area within, you know, the Kitchener-Waterloo region, which is really fantastic. We had Kevin from Cambridge, so it's really exciting to get Cambridge folks to come on up into that as well. And even though we are Lip Off KW, just that's fine. Kitchener-Waterloo region. We may have to add an R onto that, Jen, just saying. but like, so last year was, not last year, so 2018 was really interesting and special in the fact that the company that I was working for offered a volunteer day. So I actually ended up having a ton of people volunteering to come and help out from all over Southern Ontario. And a lot of those people came back this year. So folks from Owen Sound, Whitby, Hamilton, Brampton, all over. And one of the previous volunteers, Arash, it's the dyslexia.
Sorry, kicking it's in. The morning as well.
It is. Arash totally. Came back and wanted to participate. And so previous volunteer came back, wanted to participate, and ultimately won in 2019 and with his performance of Billie Jean and Michael Jackson. So yeah, if people are interested to perform, last year was the first time we had more performers that wanted to be a part of it than we actually had spots. So that was frightening and very exciting at the very same time, because mm-hmm. we had never been put into that position before. So the response from the community is always phenomenal, and it's a lot of fun.
How often do these events take place? Is it once a year mm-hmm. or twice a year?
It's once a year. So as you mentioned, we all have full-time jobs, so we're mm-hmm. all doing this on the side, and once a year is a lot for us, so definitely not more than once. And we also have a really strong commitment that after the event, we all take a breather for a month or two, and then we come back together and say, hey, do you want to do this next year? Because it's really yeah. important to us that as the committee, we are really excited and want to do it, and that every year we kind of just do that little check-in with each other and say, hey, are we still really excited? And mm-hmm. and so far, every year, it has been a resounding yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you've been doing this for, what, 4 years now?
Mm-hmm.
And with different organizations. So how has that experience changed or made you a better person being a part of these organizations and seeing closely how it's impacted what you've done, the funds you've raised, how it's impacted the people in this community? Both of you can give me those answers.
Go ahead, Jen. That's an amazing question, actually.
It is beyond inspirational. The people that we work with, that we get to meet, who are doing a lot of the frontline work, hearing their stories, hearing their commitment, seeing their enthusiasm is what really drives us in a lot of ways. And getting to know better what they're doing in our community and what's happening in our own community, that when we pick a different organization each year, we're all learning about that. One of us may have a connection, but for the most part, we're all saying, I don't know a lot about chronic homelessness in Kitchener-Waterloo. Tell us more. And so Absolutely. It's a great opportunity for us to really open our own eyes more and then say, hey, we've got this great information that needs to be shared. And then we get the opportunity to run with that. And that feels really empowering and amazing to be able to play a small part in the great work that these organizations do.
And
ditto. No, I mean, I totally agree. I think that, so when Jen mentioned that born and raised and then some people moved here, that was me. I moved here. Mm-hmm. I'm not originally from the Kitchener-Waterloo area, but in 2019, I did make the conscious decision to stick around, that this is now my home. This is my jam. These are my people. And really just being able to see the amazing things that our community can do when they come together. I had an amazing conversation once with Mike Farwell about how amazing this community is and how I don't know if we really see that anywhere else, if we would see that. I mean, I suppose if I immersed myself for another 20 years in another city, I might find it. But really just the way this community comes together and supports each other and not even just with us, but just with all the different foundations and groups that we work with. It's really heartwarming, and it just makes me want to do more and to give more back to this community.
So are you always looking for volunteers to be a part of this group as well? Or is it just the four of you and expand further down?
Go ahead, Jen. I'm laughing
because I'm pretty sure Jen would like to have about 17 other people to come and join our group. We work really well together. So, I mean, I think that that's really a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. We are, you know, if somebody shows interest or would like to get into more of the planning aspect of it, absolutely. We want to have people come in and help out. We usually do like a bit of a trial period. We don't make anybody make a final decision right away, because it is a lot of work, and it's a big time commitment. And some of us have really strange personalities, and luckily right now we all get along quite well. So do you want to add to that?
Well, I was just going to say that definitely with the committee, but also less commitment and tons of fun is being a day of volunteer.
Yes.
So we are lucky. We've had some volunteers who've come back year after year. So they have a great collection of LaBeouf KW t-shirts that they can wear.
That's how we bribe you. We bribe you with a free t-shirt.
But we couldn't do what we do without those day of volunteers who come out, give up their entire evening to help us with setup, with ticket selling, with checking in, making sure that all of our guests are having a great time. And that's huge for us to be able to have those people supporting us, because there's no way we could do this alone.
Oh, gosh, no.
It's very much takes a village, and even we have a lot of community support as well from the mayors and the chief of police and other people who help keep us inspired throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. And you've had some guests from this community. You've had Gail O'Brien of Dave Rocks and commentators from K-Fun as well, and Mike Farwell from 570 News. I saw a whole bunch of people that were a part of this, and that also helps spread the word in the community and kind of support you've been receiving.
Absolutely.
So is LipOff going to go on for years to come? Is that the goal?
Well, we did mention every year we kind of touch base and commit. And so I'm going to, you know, go ahead and say we've committed to 2020. We've agreed. And I think there's lots of great opportunity and possibility. But I, as the most strict enforcer of We Check In every year, cannot say beyond that. But
yeah, we're good with 2020.
Yeah.
And we'll keep following up. I mean, the fact of the matter is that we do really have an amazing time. You mentioned with all of our different guests and commentators. I know Tiff would want me to mention how truly original that is. The fact that we get folks from CTV, Dave Rocks, K-Fun, 570 News. Hi, Mike. You know, it's not often. Usually it's a radio sponsor or a media sponsor. It's not often that you have folks from all different lines of media come in and support the same event. So I think we're really special in that way as well. So a huge shout out to them. But yeah, I mean, the rest of us, so I mean, Tiff, Beck, and I would probably be like, yes, we'd like to do this for another 10 years. But Jen's right, every year. We just do it year by year. This will be our fifth year, though. So I feel like maybe we should do something special.
When is this year's event going to take place?
So every year we do host it in November, We have not officially given the date yet, but you will see it across social media. So if anyone's listening and saying, hey, I definitely want to know, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, our website. Just look for LipOff KW.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn we're on too. Yeah, there's no one else with the same name as us, so you should be able to find us.
Yep, LipOff KW. That's us.
And in one of your blogs or on your page, I saw this comment where you said, as a community, when we come together, we can end homelessness in Waterloo region.
Yep.
How so? How can the community support this cause in more ways than just fundraising?
I think really, again, it's just about getting the word out and understanding what chronic homelessness is. So chronic homelessness is a period of 6 months or more that you've been homeless. And really understanding that it is an issue in Kitchener-Waterloo, and it's a solvable issue. So, I mean, if you can donate, amazing. I mean, obviously, that's really what's going to get things done in the long run. But if you're not able to, because some of us aren't able to be able to give that kind of a donation, share, go to All In 2020, go to LipOff KW, share our posts, share LipOff or All In 2020's posts, and really just help get that word out there. The more people that know about it, the more people will be able to come and fix this issue. Like I said, it's a very solvable problem in the community.
And also, HUG talks a lot about housing heroes. And to be a housing hero can be a lot of different things. And that can include donating. That can include having conversations. That can be volunteering. That can be just helping to create a safe and open community where somebody who is struggling with homelessness, mental health, addictions, any of those things, feels comfortable and safe. And anyone can do that mm-hmm. by being welcoming, having a conversation, saying hello, holding a door. Those are really small and simple ways that we can help our community be more inclusive every day.
Mm-hmm. Again, if you can just give me your social feed handles again for our listeners so they can know where to exactly find you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So at LipOffKW, that applies to Twitter and Instagram. Facebook is just /LipOffKW and LinkedIn. You just search LipOffKW.
And the website's LipOffKW.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Jen and Jolene, for sharing your journey and the fabulous work you and your team have been doing. Wishing you guys the very best. And I will be there in November to check this event out because it seems like a lot of fun. So to know more about my upcoming guests, please follow my Facebook page and Conversation with Rashmi, my Instagram page. It's at RASHSANJ. And if you have a story you would like to share, you can email me. It's on air, onairwith. Rashmi, RASHMI, at gmail.com. Tune in to CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. in Conversation with Rashmi. Have a wonderful weekend and be kind, be patient, be gentle.